speaking today with Kevin Reisner, who is running for State House in District 144. Kevin, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, hey, Charles, I did want to say thanks for coming out and stopping by. I appreciate what you do with your blog. I subscribe and I read it often. But I'm running for a number of reasons. I got bit by the bug from an early age. I was block walking at 5 years old when I ran away from home and knocking doors in the district for my father when he was running at the time. I've campaigned for everybody in East Harris County and Pasadena in that area, from Senator Gallegos, Representative, Congressman Gene Green, Congressman Chris Bell, Congressman Benson. I've knocked doors and campaigned and worked political polls for just about everybody who's run or held political office on that side of town. And I decided it's about time to campaign for myself. And given the redistricting and the new opportunity that we have available for us, especially in 144, it was too critical for me not to step up and take advantage of this situation. We have a very unique opportunity to regain a seat in Pasadena and send another Democrat to Austin, a seat that's been held by, you know, Pasadena native like the Honorable Irwin Barton, the Honorable Jamie Bray, you know, who grew up in my neighborhood, who, you know, mentored me and my father from a long time. So, like I'm saying, it's a very unique opportunity, and it's too important to not get in the race. And given the dynamics and the demographics of the district, I know I had the best opportunity to win. I know the people of that area. I grew up in that area, went to school in that area, knocked doors and campaigned for everybody in that area, hit the streets. Been listening to the voters for a number of years, and I feel like I have the strongest connection with them and feel like I'll have the best opportunity to win and send another Democrat to Austin.
You referenced your father. He's a Justice of the Peace in Precinct 3, I believe it is.
Precinct 2.
Precinct 2, sorry. What would you say you've learned from him politically?
Hard work. You know, he's been in office for a very long time, and watching him over the years is... He doesn't shirk any task. I mean, he puts his own signs up. He gets out there and block walks personally. He picks up the phone and makes phone calls. So I've learned a lot about campaigning and about what it takes to get elected and stay elected. And it's not easy, you know. They must say I'm half crazy or on the way to becoming crazy for even wanting to do this. But I've also learned the relationships he's built and kept with people over the years. I mean, people look at him as a fair individual and taking a level-headed and a common-sense approach to things as they come before him. And I like to think that I'm the same way. You know, I want to hear what's going on and make a logical and a common-sense decision on things. But definitely the hard work and definitely, you know, being honest and doing what's right and being the voice of the people. So for that, I thank him.
All right. You're an account manager for a local CBS radio here, and I have to say, I've talked to a lot of people. I don't think I've talked to anyone involved in, you know, communications like this. I mean, you're in the course of your work or the work that your colleagues do here, have you interacted with the legislature in some way, lobbied on something, or had some legislation affect you?
Sure. Some of my biggest accounts are a lot of the state governmental agencies. Whether it's the Texas Parks and Wildlife, the Department of Public Safety, Department of Insurance, CHIP. We've got a program running right now for Medicare and CHIP. So I'll work with different advertising agencies and government public relations people when it comes time to get word out and get information out to the people. And I'll not only do that for our stations here in Houston, but across the state. We have the ability to, whether it's streaming online or it's with our sister stations up in Dallas, we have the opportunity to get those messages across the entire state. So given the different demographics and the different nature of the campaign that they're looking to run will depend on what station we work with. But I've been working with the governmental agency since 2004 when I first got into the business. And I probably visit Austin twice a quarter to go up there and make sure the relationships are intact and that the campaigns are going well. And as you can imagine, with governmental business, we do a lot of public service announcements. We'll have different individuals and government employees that'll come in and speak and record a session in the studios that will then play at another time and broadcast across all of our stations on the air. So it really gives the state a voice and an opportunity to get out in another means as aside from online or direct mail or something like that. It gives them the opportunity to get their message out to the people. And, you know, I like to pride myself that I work with those and are able to get those critical messages out to the people.
All right. Well, obviously the issue that dominated the last session was the budget, and in particular the effect on public education.
Yep.
As you know, the state cut over $5 billion from the public education budget. There are now multiple lawsuits filed. They've got a tentative court date, or a time frame for a court date in October. What needs to be done with regards to funding public education? What opportunities do you see to, you know, find more money for public education?
At the end of the day, I don't think public education is a partisan issue. It shouldn't be. You know, this is Texas. Everybody has a right to a good education. I'm a product of public education. Williams Elementary, Queens Intermediate, and Pasadena High School. I know we have great teachers, we have great educators, but when you cut, $5.4 billion from it, you know, it makes their jobs tougher. And it shouldn't be a partisan issue. We need to make it a priority, and not a partisan priority, but a priority for everybody.
What opportunities do you see to find? I mean, the cuts were mostly because they were saying we didn't have the money. Where are we going to find more money for education?
Well, I've read into the business margin taxes and the different property taxes, but we need a steady flow of revenue that's dedicated to that. I'm open to hearing different ideas on that, whether it's, you know, we go in another direction with appropriations or where those monies are going to come from. But at the end of the day, it needs to come and it needs to happen. You know, we can't sit back let our children get a second-rate education. You know, Texas isn't a second-rate state. They deserve our best. The children deserve the best. And where that money comes from, you know, it's going to come. And I don't know exactly where it's going to come from or how we're going to get it, but we're going to get it, and we have to. I mean, it's really not a choice that needs to be up for discussion. I mean, it's a crisis. Okay. And, you know, we've got to do whatever we can do to get the kids, you know, get the money we need to get the schools running the way they should be.
All right. Women's health program. I assume you're aware of the controversy around that, action the governor has taken. What's your take on all that?
Well, first and foremost, my mom is probably the most special and precious person in my life. Okay. From an early age, she instilled in me, you know, respect for women and to love women. And it's because of her that I have made, you know, women's rights my number one issue. Whether it's their right to choose or their right to quality and affordable health care, that's another example. I mean, that and education are right up there. I just don't think that those are partisan issues. Those are both issues that need to be funded and need to be taken care of. I mean, women rely on those services for, you know, prenatal screening, for cancer screening, for all kinds of different medical evaluations that they don't have access to given their situation. And, you know, women are critical to the future of Texas. I mean, they're raising our children. They're raising our children, and we need to make sure they're taken care of.
Okay. A lot of legislation that ultimately gets passed, it tends to deal with local issues.
Okay.
What sort of legislation or priorities do you envision pursuing that would be specific to the district or maybe the city of Pasadena?
Well, you know, 144 is unique, but at the same time, they share the same issues that most other districts across the state share. You know, we want the health care. You know, we want better schools. We want more funding for those projects. But something that is unique about East Harris County, and especially in Pasadena, is the petrochemical industry. You know, I think it's important that we bring more jobs and good jobs to that area. You know, having the right to organize and collectively bargain is important to to 144. There's a good industry out there, but at the same time, we want jobs that are safe. We want jobs that are going to be there. And at the same time, those jobs, we don't want to see them harm the environment or harm our children. But jobs is very, very important on the east side of town. But at the same time, as I pointed out, you know, we share the same issues as every other district with regard to education and more funds for healthcare.
Okay. Well, obviously, since you mentioned the petrochemical industry, obviously, there's a lot of refineries, chemical plants, whatnot in this district, in Pasadena. You know, there's often conflicts over how these industries are regulated in terms of, you know, pollution, emissions, and whatnot. In fact, you know, as you know, there's been an ongoing conflict between the state and the federal government over that.
Right.
Can you speak to that? What's your view on, you know?
Well, I mean, we've got the Houston Ship Channel that comes through that area, and at the end of the day, we've got to find a balance and a compromise as to what those emissions are and those standards are. I mean, they provide an invaluable service. They employ a lot of people. They've got good jobs over there. I mean, a lot of the people in that area have worked in those plants for a number of years. I mean, generations come through there. So finding that balance and that compromise as to how that's going to be regulated is something we're going to have to do. Because it serves an invaluable purpose, not only from what they produce, but also from the employment aspect and the number of people that are employed in that area. So we've got to find that even keel of a balance that, while we understand the service they're bringing and the jobs they're creating, we want to make sure that they're also not harming the environment or hurting our children. So finding that even keel and finding that balance is something it's always going to be an issue that we're going to continue to have to make sure stays intact.
District 144 was one of the ones that was kind of a point of contention during redistricting,
yeah.
And in particular the litigation that followed the redistricting.
Sure.
You know, obviously this, you know, we have the district as it's been created now by the courts. It's likely to change again going forward as the litigation progresses. You know, what's your opinion of, you know, the district and the greater map as it's been created now? And what, if any, changes do you want to see to this district as the litigation progresses?
It changed so much the incumbent withdrew from the race. You know, we'll start there. It's been created for a Democrat to win. I mean, it's great. The opportunity is great. I don't really want the district to change any more than it already has. As we started off talking, this is an opportunity for us as Democrats to win another seat, a seat that we haven't held in a long time. And that's really, while a Democrat can win, I don't foresee the other party just sitting back and not coming out and working come November. So it's important that we get the right candidate in there past this primary. The district is unique. While the overall population has changed, you know, the dynamics of the district. I think before, when the incumbent had it, it may have been 60% or so Republican. Since the changes, it's a lot closer. It's even. So we have a unique opportunity to take another seat in Austin, and you know, that's why I'm running, because I feel like I'm the best candidate to do so.
The district was also created really as an opportunity for a Latino candidate to win. How does that affect how you run?
Well, I put my party affiliation first. You know, I've heard that. I've heard, you know, this district was created for a Latino, but I think it was created for a Democrat. While the overall population of the district is predominantly Hispanic, the overall voting population is not. It's different. I like to compare my district to that of Congressman Gene Green's. It's a perfect example. Congressman Green's district was created for a Hispanic Latino as well. I mean, we all remember when Ben Reyes and all that went down, and that race went down. And at the same time, you know, he's managed to hold on to that seat and still serve the Hispanic Latino community for a long time. So I understand the importance, and I understand their needs just as well. I don't think you necessarily have to, I understand the needs of the people in the district. So while the demographics of that district are predominantly Hispanic and Latino, the voting population is not. It varies. It changes a lot. And, you know, I'm looking forward to serving all the needs of the district, you know, Democrat, Latino, elderly, you know, all races and everything else. So,
okay. And when we go to vote in this primary in May, now that we have a primary date, May 29th, you know, why should, you know, you do have two opponents. Why should people vote for you to be the nominee in 144 and not one of your opponents?
Well, I don't have anything negative to say about either one of my opponents. The biggest point that I can make about that is I am the best opponent that's going to win in November. At the end of the day, when the November race comes out, while the district has changed and it's more of an even keel as far as Democrat-Republican ratio and voting, I stand the chance to win better than my opponents in this primary. And at the end of the day, we have this opportunity to send another Democrat to Austin, and it's so critical and so crucial given, you know, the state of the economy, given the state of the jobs and healthcare and these other issues that we just discussed. I stand the chance to win, and that's what I'm campaigning on as far as getting people out to vote, and we're looking forward to it. We've got some work to do, but things are looking good. And we're real excited about the opportunity.
Okay. Kevin Reisner, thank you very much for talking to me.
Hey, you bet.